One on Crick Info Talk.
Hello, I'm Sanjay Mandrake and welcome to Crick Info Talk. Very fortunate to have caught up with Kumar Sangakkara, and I'm going to ask him about his team's chances in this World Cup and with it the chances of some of the South Asian teams in the World Cup and get his views on the likely heroes of the upcoming World Cup. So this is Kumar Sangakkara with me on the Crick Info Talk.
The result in India, not quite like the way you would like it, but without Vaas and Murli, you would still be happy with what you're taking back.
Yeah, I think so, very much, because anyways, you know, there's a lot of hype about the World Cup but before the tour, but we made it pretty clear that this series was important to us as a series in itself. And having, you know, disappointment to have the first game washed off, great to have that result in a match that we were probably losing until the last two overs in Rajkot. But the real disappointment in this tour was the top order really not getting the big runs, because that's what we look for every game. One day games are, you know, one on batting. But I think the real positive is how the middle order has fared. And in our past tour, if we had lost four wickets for 50, we probably have crumbled for 160, 180. But now we're getting totals of 250, having lost four wickets early on. So that just shows us how much, you know, if we apply ourselves a bit more and improve our games in the next 2 to 3 weeks, that we can really reach for the big scores that we need to win games.
Happy with generally how the combination is coming through for the World Cup, the 15 players that you have now?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think, you know, the best 15 have been picked. It's always a nice advantage to have that real genuine all-round where you can play four fast bowlers, especially with the 20-over power players in. But, you know, that's a luxury only a few countries have. And I think we should always play to our strengths, and our strengths is always...
When we talk about all-rounders, Kumar, why do we talk about the batting and bowling all-rounder? I mean, you're an all-rounder. I mean, you can keep wickets, you can be that batsman. Isn't that enough for a team to have one wicket-keeper who is the all-rounder in the team?
That's a pivotal position right now in world cricket, the wicket-keeper being the all-rounder who can bat. But cricket is such that, you know, the more all-rounders you have in a team, the better your side's going to be, the more options you're going to have. So I think the future of cricket is where players can do a lot of things, not just one discipline, but the more you can do and the more options you have.
So you don't buy the theory that, you know, a lot of people believe that you've got to have those five specialist batsmen, five specialist bowlers and a wicketkeeper, and that's perfect. You don't sort of buy that theory.
No, I really don't. I think if you can have... you know, people who can do two disciplines really well, batting and bowling, you had a huge advantage. Wicket keeping and batting is a must. But you need at least one more all-rounder who can bowl, be it spin or be it pace, who can bat.
When you say wicket keeper, batsman is a master, are those days gone now, Kumar, that you have this great keeper who doesn't quite bat well, bat at maybe 8 to 9, not ever getting to play international cricket?
I think it's a reality that, you know, people will have to accept from now on. You know, there have been times, you know, I've watched great wicket keepers play the game, but even Ian Healy, you know, used to contribute usefully with the bat, and since Gilchrist has walked in, Mahendra Singh Dhoni now, and most of the other wicket keepers around the world, Boucher, they are expected to score runs, and I'm sure there are better wicket keepers around, but unfortunately they can't be that important or useful in a scenario where people are expected to contribute in every
so the discipline. The captains do not mind the quality of keeping maybe suffering a little bit. They can accept that, they can absorb that in a cricket match if the keeper is bringing a lot of value with batting?
I think you can absorb it to a certain extent. You can't really play a bad wicket keeper. So you play a good wicket keeper, maybe not the best in the world, but who's a very competent wicket keeper who's going to contribute, you know, valuable runs with the bat. And I think sides are looking at that right now, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why the scoring rates and sides have really improved.
But when you were growing up, obviously this wasn't the trend. I mean, you grew up maybe in the 80s playing junior level of cricket. Did you happen by chance that you were just a very good batsman who also was a very good keeper, or you worked really hard at being outstanding at both?
I was pretty ordinary at both, if I'm to be honest, when I started. And as you said, I had to work really hard because there were, you know, guys like Mahela have been, you know, exceptionally talented since they were young. I'm not of that mold, and it's been a lot of hard work, and my father who overlooked my career and my technique a lot. And that's been the one factor that's taught me the value of hard work. And keeping, I think until the last 3 years, my keeping was average. Mm-hmm. And I've managed to work hard with Ian Healy especially, and Shane Duff, who was a trainer with us a few years ago, to improve that. And right now I'm very happy with
him. So did everything change in one season, 1 year? Some good advice came at the right time, and you seem to be a good learner. If you know, some advice has changed your career, obviously you were quick to learn.
I think you know, that's something that every player looks for. You learn every single game, every single season you play. If you don't, you find players who come, have a brilliant first year, and then decline over the next years. With my wicket keeping, I think it was just 1 hour with Ian Healy that changed my perspective on wicket keeping. It made things simpler, and he's a guy who can, you know, tell you everything he knows in the simplest of language, in 15, 20 minutes.
And that's the challenge of coaching, isn't it? It's not about what you know, but communicating that to your student.
Exactly. I've been to other keeping, you know,
greats,
coaching classes as such, where I walked away more confused than, you know, when I walked in. But 1 hour with Ian Healy just changed my entire outlook on wicket keeping. I walked away with a lot of confidence and the knowledge that it's not about talent. It's just about hard work, and that's what I've been doing.
Right, Kumar, World Cup now just a few days away. You would be the right person to be asking this question. Obviously, the interest is Asia for all of us. How do you see the Asian teams performing in this World Cup? Now, the venue is West Indies. It's a completely different land, maybe close to Sri Lanka with the beaches and everything, but for an Indian and Pakistani, it's totally different. Could you just run us down, you know, Sri Lanka in West Indies in this World Cup? How do you look at Sri Lanka as a contender?
I think we're going to be very strong contenders. Not just, you know, to boast the fact that I'm Sri Lankan, and I would want to be, of course.
I'm sure you have a very good reason for that, I know.
But I think the Asian attitude has changed towards pace bowling a lot in the past years. And Asians are not very good travelers when it comes to playing abroad. But, you know, we've realized very much that if you're going to be recognized as a good team, you have to be a good team when you tour. It's useless winning. You can win day in, day out at home, but you're never going to be, you know, put in that same class as a team that wins away from home. We've worked on that. And the key to that is very much having a good balanced bowling attack. You know, we've always had the good batsmen. Technically, the Asians are very sound, and I find that this theory of the bouncing ball and troubling Asians is a myth. Because if you're good enough with your technique, if you're good enough on any wicket, and the more bounced wickets have, the Asians bat better. It's got a lot to do with how we've changed that pace bowling balance in our sides, and we are now very comfortable with playing three or four pace bowlers. Pakistan has had that in the past, but especially when it comes to Sri Lanka and India, it's a new thing. And I think there's a lot being said about West Indian wickets, but you know, you can't predetermine what it's going to do.
What is your gut feeling?
I think it's going to be good tracks with bounce and movement. That's what I think. And I think if you go in there expecting Sri Lankan or Indian wickets, I think we're going to be disappointed.
You just get the feeling it's the World Cup, so the groundsman will be putting four times the energy in the pitches, and the result is bound to be, you know, more bounce and more pace.
Yes.
And more work is put in, isn't it?
I definitely think so. And I think from a Sri Lankan perspective, the change in our pace bowling attack is going to be our biggest plus there. And the way we're going, we picked five fast bowlers, and two of them, one of them bowls 150 plus, and Dilhara bowls 140 plus. And that's a fantastic combination in with Shaminder Vaz, who bowls 125, 130, but lands the ball on a coin. So,
and the slowest bowler is perhaps the most dangerous.
He is the most dangerous. But, you know, to have that variation in our attack gives us a lot of confidence going in, because we know we have the confidence in our batting to play one less batsman and four fast bowlers, or seven batters with three fast bowlers. So now we've changed our perspectives, and that's going to, as I said, it's going to add a lot of quality to our play.
I can see you're getting a little excited as well when you're talking about fast bowling, which is a change, because Sri Lanka has always been about slow medium pace and spinners. When I meant the slowest bowler, I meant Murli, you know, the off spinner. You've got your four fast bowlers and five fast bowlers that you're pretty excited about.
Yeah.
But Murli, how do you look at him?
Murli, he's a genius.
And West Indies on those pitches?
On any wicket. If I were playing on a cement, I'd back Murli to take wickets for me and bowl miserly spells. You know, in the past, Murli's been a bit expensive in one-dayers, I reckon, because of the fact that we've looked to him to take wickets all the time
for
us.
the job specification for him that he's got to look?
It has been. So he's been bowling with a lot of attacking fields, and you know, the wickets are getting better. Batsmen are getting used to, you know, trying to attack spinners, even one of Murali's class. So he's been going for a bit of runs. But that doesn't mean that he's any less of a bowler. I think he's a much better bowler right now. He's got the experience and the intelligence and the variety now to trouble anyone on any pitch. So I think when we get our fast bowling right and they are attacking and getting us the wickets we need up front, I think Murali's job can go back to the old spinner's job of containment, which he does brilliantly well. Yeah. And that's going to be an added burden.
Which is the one that he likes in one-day cricket, the wicket-taking role? Or
I think it's got to be the containment role. But, you know, we have the advantage of him being the best spinner in the world. If you want wickets, we can attack with him. So we have that luxury. And if we can get him into that containment role, it's going to be fantastic, because then batsmen will have to take chances on Murali, and that's going to pick him up. Get him
in India and wickets. Pakistan, how do you look at these two teams?
Pakistan, as always, is, you know, I think it's a stock answer when they say they're unpredictable. They've got the pace bowling quality again to exploit bounce, pace and movement. I don't know what the situation with
provided Shoaib Akhtar and Mohammad Asif control their intake of solids and liquids, whatever.
I don't know the actual situation with those two, but if they are in the squad, it's just going to make them an immensely difficult side to beat. And they've got the batsman, the quality. Mohammad Yusuf has had an amazing year. And they just, Yunis Khan, and they just need to keep going the way they are. But you never know with them. They can self-destruct, you know, and offer games on a platter to other sides.
Just too inconsistent a batting team. And you said one-day cricket is won by batting, isn't it?
Yes, and also fielding. I would reckon it's going to be a huge plus. And it's not one of Pakistan's strong points. So those are the things that will work against them. But they have the ability and the talent to beat anyone in the world.
A lot of people now interested in your views on the Indian team and the 15 that's been announced. And how do you look at them in the West Indies?
I think India again, because of Zahir's comeback. I think I've been a great admirer of Zahir Khan. He's been a fantastic bowler for India. I think the fact that he's been out of the team, he's got fitter. He's got hungrier, I think, to be a part of Team India. And he's had no choice but to improve his bowling. And he's just discovered, you know, a couple of yards of extra pace.
Did you sense that difference when you batted against him? Because when he played in the Indian Oil Cup in Sri Lanka, he was struggling a bit with the
fitness.
So the distinct change in the way the ball is coming.
There is quite a distinct change, and I think all our batsmen, walked away with a bit of new respect for Zahir as a bowler. So, and he's got a great record against left-handers. So, he's going to be a vital cog in the wheel of Team India.
It's great to get the perspective of somebody who's actually playing the game, because when you talk about the stars or the main players of the Indian team, not too many would talk about Zahir Khan, but it's the name that you picked. What other reason do you think there is for India to feel optimistic about their chances?
Again, I would say Irfan Pathan will be quite an important player if and when he gets his rhythm and focus back. Your batting lineup, I think, is second to none in the world. And Saurav coming back again, a player who's been out of the team, who's come back, has, I think, strengthened you, because we watched him bat, and I think he's batting extremely well. He's worked out, a lot more of his game, and he's more comfortable doing the job he does. Rahul and Sachin have always, been greats of the game. So you have that, and I think you have Mahendra Singh Dhoni, who can hit you the big runs, who can get that score from 250 to 300. So all these factors are working for India. It's just a matter of converting them as a cohesive unit in a game, which is another story. So getting that right is up to,
Let me ask you to do a difficult exercise, and completely, I know you'll be very independent when it comes to thinking on this. Your rating of the Asian teams in the West Indies for the World Cup, if you were given, the job of rating chances of, say, Sri Lanka, India and Pakistan in West Indies in the World Cup.
I'm being realistic. I would say Sri Lanka, India would have equal chance with Pakistan coming in second.
Let's move to individuals now. Batsmen. You're a batsman yourself. I mean, we know you're in great form, and obviously you'll be hitting the headline more than some of the others. But your pick as the batsman that you think will leave a mark in West Indies in this World Cup?
Sanat Jayasurya, for one, probably will be his last World Cup.
So do you think him doing... I mean, is he thinking differently? Because it is...
He's... You know, it's... when you watch a person like Sanath bat, you always think unconventional, unique player, huge amounts of power. But, you know, I've watched him over my 6 years in the national team. I've seen how much he works on technique, little things. He's changed his grip. He's changed his stance. He's changed his initial movement over the years. His head position, stepping out. He's gone through phases where he's fine-tuned every little thing. The final result doesn't look as if, you know, he looks as if he's a natural cricketer, but he's a guy who's worked immensely on technique to have that little base, which lets him exploit his unit. He'll be really focused on making sure that he goes out in a blaze of glory.
So has he changed his game slightly, technique off late? Or?
Not just slightly, I think huge amounts. Little fine streamlining here, bit of fine-tuning.
And he's able to do that at this stage of his career when the game is so well-defined and set. He's still able to make those changes.
I think the operative word is being set. The longer you play the game, the more set you become. And often you see players getting set in the wrong frame of mind. They get into that comfort zone where they think, well, I've achieved so much and that's enough. But, you know, the key to improvement is always getting out of that comfort zone, challenging yourself, making sure you have something to achieve every single practice session, every single game, tour, year. You know, and the benchmarks have been raised, and you don't want to be left behind, you know, in the shadow of, you know, Sanath doesn't want to be in the shadow of any other batsman in the world. To do that, he's got to come out, improve, and play better cricket. And he's willing to do the hard work. So you see the results still at 37. He's one of the fittest in our team. He's getting the runs he always used to get,
you know. To bowl as well.
Getting to bowl, fielding really well, and now he's batting for longer. So his whole attitude has changed, and that's going to be very beneficial to the Sri Lankan team.
Yeah, and when he bats well in the World Cup, Sri Lanka wins the World Cup.
35 runs, I think 45 runs per inning makes us win 75% of the time, which is an amazing statistic. And that's what we look for to him, to give us that start. Now we know that if he gets that start, he more often goes on to make the big scores, rather than getting out in the 40s or the 50s. So that's great for us.
Any other batsmen?
Sachin Tendulkar, again.
Last, you'd see him playing...
I can see him playing more cricket. I don't know whether it'll you know, it's up to the individual player to decide when you retire. But if you miss that window of opportunity to walk out when you're on top, can be a disappointing end in the long run. But Sachin has been a fantastic player over the years, he's been, you know, a great batsman and an example to watch. I think he's going to be again that much more focused on making sure that they leave a mark, that he leaves a mark on this World Cup. Brian Lara is another one. I think
Lara playing at home as
at
well,
home yeah. probably his last World Cup. You know, the people who are coming to the end of their careers are going to be the more dangerous players, I think, in this World Cup, because they've become just that much hungrier to leave that little legacy, little mark, that personal touch on something and say, you know, that was my World Cup. Australia, I think, Ricky Ponting, Adam Gilchrist. Again, you know, guys who have done it over the years, and again, who will be looking to make sure that they leave something behind of themselves for world cricket.
Bowlers?
Murali?
Murali, yeah. I knew that
obvious
was one
choice.
That
obvious choice.
What about somebody like Malinga? You know, huge hero after the World Cup, possibly?
Yes.
Has he got it in him, along with the pace?
I think he's got it with him, just because he knows what he can do and he knows what he can't do. We don't expect him to bowl little seaming balls, you know, land it on a coin and, you know, move it around. That's not what he does. And he knows that. And he knows that we back him to do what he does best. Bowl fast, get batsmen out. And first World Cup, you know, you have so much to achieve in that if you really want it. And he's got the enthusiasm. He's a very positive guy. Different, unique, but very positive. And we feed off him quite a lot when we play. So he's got a lot to achieve. Indian bowlers, if you take, I think, Harbhajan Singh against Zahid Khan. And the satellite bowlers in Munaf Patel, who's, I think, an exceptional talent.
When you say exceptional, Munaf Patel, because you batted against him and you felt that he had something different.
He's got the accuracy. You know, he's not express pace. He can bowl 140 when he wants to, I think. But pace in one-day cricket can be a liability sometimes. But coupled with his accuracy, I think he's got the ability to impress and to be a quality bowler for his
side. What about the all-rounders? Somebody like, say, Jacob Oram from New Zealand. Not a huge fan of Kiwis, are you?
No, it's not that him being a Kiwi. I think Shane Bond is a guy you'd be watching, you know. It's I love watching fast bowlers, not facing them, but watching them off screen. And
talking about them.
Yeah, talking about them when they're in full flow. It's beautiful to watch. I think that's what crowds go to a cricket match for, to watch a fast bowler, intimidate batsmen, hit him or get, you know, batsmen scoring runs off fast bowlers. He's fantastic again. So Shane Bonnen is really on top form right now. Jacob Oram, I'm not really sure, but Freddie Flintoff is a guy coming from the VBs, from the Commonwealth Bank series into the World Cup. I think he's going to be, again, a guy who's, he's got a point to prove. Captaincy has been a bone of contention in England. Michael Vaughan has come out and said that he's the person to bring England cricket back to normal. You know, Freddie would be really raring to prove himself to be, you know, Super Freddie Flintoff. That
Kevin Peterson doesn't figure in your top five batsmen.
I think he definitely will.
England, small grounds,
small grounds, perfect for him. Fantastic player. He looked, he's very aggressive, colourful character.
A great batsman, do you think, Kumar?
I think definitely yes. I think because of the fact that he plays spin well, played Warney well. He's played Murli slightly less better than Warney, I think, but he still managed to score some runs off Murli. And if you can do that against those two guys, you know, you're good enough to do that on any ground. So the real test for him will be the subcontinent, conquering the turning tracks and getting big runs here. But, you know, we have to wait and see. And I think he's definitely potentially a top 10 batsman in the coming years.
Well, thank you so much, Kumar, for sharing your thoughts with us. This is Sanjay Manjrekar for Cricket Info Talk.
One on Cricket Info Talk.